So you want to make your day count. Make your life count. Do those things. What else should you be doing? Witnessing.
Amen.
Here's our text. Psalm 126. You want to make today count? Go soul winning with us today.
Amen.
Go soul winning. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Amen.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Amen.
I wrote out a little lesson today. Learning to be a soul winner. Learning to be a soul winner. A few opening statements. Number one way that we can know that we're saved is if we have an earnest desire to win others to Christ.
Amen.
The day I received Christ, I wanted everybody in my family to get saved. I wanted all of my friends to get saved. I knew I'd been born again. I knew I was no longer going to hell. I was going to heaven. And I wanted that day to see all my family get saved.
Amen.
And many of my family have received Christ as Savior now, and friends. But one way we know that we're saved is we have an earnest desire to win souls. Number two, we should not only keep the faith, but we should share the faith. You know, people keep saying, hey, you need to keep the faith, Brother Fogg. Keep the faith. Well, I don't just need to keep it. I need to share it. Share the faith. Share it with others. Then I've got a striking statement, number three. Frankly, we are not wise unless we are trying to win souls.
Amen.
I've got four businessmen that have asked me to sort of coach them on their businesses, how the Bible tells folks to run their businesses. The Bible tells you how to run a business.
Amen.
One of these fellows, he bought a business about 10 years ago that the revenue of this business was $300,000 a year and the profit was about $30,000. You know, there's a difference between revenue and profit.
Amen.
So, man, we had $100 million a year. Yeah, how'd you spend? $104 million. That's not good. It's a $4 million loss. You know? Well, this fellow bought this business, $300,000 revenue, $30,000 profit. Last year did $27 million with over $3 million profit. Good. That's great. I told him I want you to make as much as possible. I want you to be a giver. Amen to that. But I told him, and I tell him often, I said, let me tell you something. I want you to be as successful as possible. I want you to follow this Bible. I want you to be honest. But if you're not trying to win souls, I don't care how successful you are in that business, you're not wise if you're not trying to win souls. And that's true. He that winneth souls is wise. That's what the Bible says. If you want to make your life count, you want to make your day count, try to win someone to Jesus.
Amen.
Try. Let your light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Why should we win souls? Because of the value of a soul.
Amen.
Mm. I mean, they're priceless, man. Every soul is unique. I was flying in on that plane the other night and preaching a little bit. And I told the young man, Bruce, I said, God made you.
Amen.
I said, in fact, every person on this plane is unique.
Amen.
Everyone has their own unique soul. You only have one,
right.
But you have one.
Amen.
They're priceless.
Right.
They're rare. You can't buy another one. Why should we win souls? Because they're desirable, because they're durable. A soul is durable. Durable. They last. You know, you can buy you a hot water heater. Well, in 20 or so years, you're going to need to buy another one because they wear out. Washing machine, refrigerator, they're all going to wear out. But not a soul. They last forever. They're either going to be in heaven forever or going to be in hell forever. They're going to be somewhere forever. Why should we win souls? Because we've been commissioned by Jesus to win souls. I was out door knocking in Norfolk, Virginia, and I just finished the second set of apartments, and a lady manager came running out to me and said, you can't do this. I said, well, ma'am, I just finished. I just finished. I said, I did pick up some pizza boxes while I went through. I was very careful not to to do anything wrong inside. I spoke kindly to your people. I said, we had 7 people out of your apartment buildings last night in the meetings. And I said, if they all get saved in your buildings, you'll have a better building. And I said, ma'am, you've got to understand. I wasn't being a smart aleck when I said this. I said, but you've got to understand, I've been commissioned to do this.
Amen. Yes.
I was not being a smart aleck. Never represent the Lord as a smart aleck. I said, I've been commissioned. She said, you've been commissioned? Well, yes, we have been commissioned, friends. That's what Jesus said matters to him.
Amen.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations. It is my job.
Amen.
On the plane the other night, an airline worker came to me at the end of the flight and said, you have talked about personal things this entire flight. I said, are you going up and down these aisles telling everybody to stop talking about personal things? I don't know. I shot back. And then the Lord broke my heart. I said, I'm sorry if I talked too loud. I said, but I don't apologize for the content of what I said.
Amen.
You know, I don't want to represent the Lord badly.
Amen.
Or improperly. But folks, you got to know, we've got to tell folks about Jesus.
Right.
Jesus wants us to do that.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not to hide my little light, and you're not to hide your little light.
Amen.
And be a witness, be a witness. Why should we win souls? Because of the value of a soul, because of the commission of Jesus Christ, and because of the reward of soul winners. Would it be a good thing to cure cancer? That'd be a great thing. If you had the cure for cancer, shouldn't you tell somebody? Well, yeah. Well, what if you could pay off the national debt? If you figured out the way to pay off the national debt, shouldn't you tell somebody? Yeah. But there's no greater joy than winning a soul to Jesus.
Amen.
It's greatly rewarding. Now, those are all opening statements. Let's see what time it is. Okay, here's a fast sermon. Point number one, learn to be a committed soul winner. Learn to be a committed soul winner.
Amen.
That. Are you doing that? What? Soul winning. Have you made your commitment to be a soul winner? We must intentionally be a soul winner.
Amen.
Intentionally. Intentionally have some gospel tracts in your pocket. Who gives out gospel tracts?
Amen.
People who have gospel tracts.
Amen.
The pastor I was just with this past weekend, Clyde Eborn, is 88 years old. And as a 30-some-year-old man working for DuPont, somebody handed him a gospel tract and he got saved. I don't know how many gospel tracts he has given out through the years. I go out to eat with him when I'm with him. He doesn't go door to door at 88 years old. He doesn't. But you go out to eat with him, he goes table to table. And he's praying at every table. They all know him in his town. He's told them all about the Lord. And he's telling them about him again. He just keeps thinking of ways to get the gospel out. Just the other month, he learned of every door direct mail. He didn't know about that. And so we helped him send a card out to every door with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do things intentionally. Set a goal. You work toward goals. You set a goal. Set a goal.
Yeah.
Set a goal. I'm going to witness every day this week. I'm going to give out tracts this week. We tend to work toward our goals. Set a goal to witness every day, to witness to folks. Make a goal. Make a prayer list. Make a prayer list. And then establish a plan to witness to them.
Amen.
Bring them to your house. Bring folks to your house. Bring them to your table. My wife is not well. She's better than she was. This happened. A girl knocked on the door. And my wife answered. And there's a young lady selling magazines. And my wife said, come in. My wife said, I'm not going to buy any magazines. She said, would you like some lunch?
Amen.
And the young girl who had come here from another country said, oh yeah, I'd like some lunch. My wife sat her down at the table and gave her something to drink and made her lunch. And sat down and talked to her about the Lord. And my wife said, now, tomorrow you work in the same area? Yes. She said, then stop by again tomorrow. I'm going to make you lunch. My wife's not able to go door to door. Come to our door. We'll bring you in. Amen. We'll feed you, and we're going to tell you about the Lord. Amen. We have a party every month. We have a party every month at our house. We've been doing this for several years now. Every month, we bring in people to our home. We play games. We feed them well. But you know what it's all about? Winning people to Jesus Christ. Amen. Our party is an evangelistic party.
Amen.
It always is. And people love coming because we feed them so well. We've got one person that's come so many times to our party and still not saved. They're invited to come again this month. At the end of the month, we'll do it again. Oh, yes. Find some way to win souls. Make your commitment. See every lost soul as a potential brother or sister in Christ.
Amen.
They are. It's not enough to live an exemplary life. So, well, I'll live an exemplary life, Brother Fox. I'll do that. People don't get saved by our exemplary lives. They get saved by the gospel.
Amen.
Give the gospel. And we're not exceptional Christians unless we are trying to win souls. They said about Jesus, Luke 15, verse 2, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Yes, that's what we're going to do too, and try to win souls. So number one, learn to be a committed, they all have C's today, committed soul winner. Number two, learn to be a compassionate. We're talking about learning to be a soul winner. Number two, learn to be a compassionate soul winner. They that sow in tears. This morning at breakfast, I was down there eating my watermelon. And I was listening to Dr. Schindler talk. I like to listen to him talk about anything.
Amen.
He was talking about when he was getting saved and a man with tears telling you need to be saved.
Amen.
Compassion. Compassion. We ought to be brokenhearted for the lost.
Amen.
We should. We need to see souls as God sees souls.
Amen.
Everybody's either saved or lost.
Right.
One Tennessee preacher, he's with the Lord now. He used to say it this way, you're either a saint or you ain't. That's true. That is good theology. I've gone to Washington, D.C. many times. I go 3 to 5 times a year to go soul winning. To go soul winning. They're on Capitol Hill. And I remember the first time I walked into Nancy Pelosi's office. And God spoke to my heart. And he said this. He said, remember, my son died for her. You know, there's people I greatly disagree with on policy, but I didn't go on policy that day.
Amen.
I'll do that some other day. I went to try to win her to Christ.
Amen.
I've been in many of their offices. Jesus died for all of them.
Right.
I was a 15-year-old boy, and one of my favorite preachers was B.R. Lakin. B.R. Lakin. Dr. Lakin. And in this sermon, I don't even know what he preached. I don't know what he preached that service. I have no idea at this point. But I remember this. It changed my life. He began to pray before he preached. He said, Lord, please put a love in my heart for everyone for whom Jesus died. I wrote it down word for word what he said. I was mesmerized by it. It gripped my heart.
Amen.
I've been praying that to this day. Lord, please put a love in my heart for everyone for whom Jesus died.
Amen.
Who is that? That's everybody in the whole world.
Right.
That's everyone. Jesus died for the nastiest person on this earth. And we try to classify sinners. Oh, that person nasty. Yeah, we're all nasty.
Right.
All need to be saved.
Amen.
all need a Savior. And we ought to be compassionate Saviors, brokenhearted, actually weeping over souls. Have we been reaping? We need to. Then number three, learn to be a confident soul winner. Learn to be a confident soul winner. There's reason to be confident in this passage. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed might come again. Oh, let me try again. I messed up. A few of y'all caught that. Yeah. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed perhaps will come again. Doesn't say that. This is the word of God. And the word of God says, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Amen.
Last year when I was at this meeting, I was exhausted. I'm better than that this year. I'm on the verge of exhaustion. Most of God's workers are very tired. And last year I brought Kerry Charles with me, that young preacher boy. He's 16. I love him. I love being around him. He's got a great spirit, all that. I was so exhausted. I said, Kerry, you're going soul winning. I was planning on going to take a nap. It was hot last year. Woo! So I sent him up here. And I thought, how can I send him and me not go?
Amen.
I've got to go. I've got to go. Just press on. Press on. There's nothing wrong with rest. There's nothing wrong with rest. Rest is not a sin. Laziness is sin.
Amen.
Last year I said, I'm pressing on. And so I came up and got out there and we went. And by the grace of God, I got to lead two men to Christ last year out soul winning and all that heat. I got to go inside their air-conditioned room, their air-conditioned house, and sit there, and each of them about 30 or 40 minutes led them to Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was at a church recently, led some folks to Christ. They came to church. They were seven. And some folks said, how did you do that? I thought back to Sergeant York. Remember he brought those prisoners in? They're like, how'd you do that? He said, well, the woods are full of them. Brother Fox, how'd you win those folks to Christ? I said, well, the woods are full of them. There's lost people all over. And some of them are just waiting for someone to show up and tell them. They're just waiting like Cornelius. He's just waiting. He's a devout man. He's seeking the Lord. Peter, go tell him. I know you're a Jew and he's a Gentile, but this gospel is for everybody. Go tell him.
Amen.
And he went and told that Italian. That Italian. I said that to someone recently, and he was Italian. Yes, Italians need to be saved.
Amen.
Everyone needs to be saved.
Right.
Hallelujah. The gospel is for all. And there are expectations that people are going to be saved. The seed is the word. My word shall not return void, the Bible says. Every time we give one of these gospel tracts out, every time, every single time we give one of these out, we're believing God. Why? It's got the Bible in here. It says it right here, 2 Peter chapter 3, 9, John 3, 17, Romans 3, 23, on and on, Romans, it's got the Word of God in it.
Amen.
So when we give them out, we're believing God. And then as you go, go with some confidence. Go with some confidence. Know the Word of God. Give it out regular. Give it to your family. Give it to your friends. Give it to your co-workers. Shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. I was in a tiny little town. Oh, it's a tiny town. It's near Floyd, Virginia. Where's Floyd, Virginia? It's near this little tiny town. They're all little tiny towns there. So I went, and we were having a meeting and so forth. And I went out soul winning. And came across a fella who had heart problems and had heart surgery. Lost man. I felt impressed to do it this way. I had him. I gave him the Bible. I gave him the verses. I found him. I said, read that for us. And the man read it to us. I said, explain that to me. I had him preach the sermon to me. Amen. We went through the gospel. We went down what we call the Romans Road.
Amen.
After we got to Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13, after he explained it to me, I said, now what should you do? He said, I need to get saved.
Amen.
He led himself to Christ with my Bible. I don't know, I felt impressed to do that. And receive Christ. He said, I want you to go next door and tell my daughter.
Amen.
I went next door. His daughter was emaciated. She had been on so many drugs and so forth. She's about 60 years old, and he was 80 years old. She's in the late 50s or 60, thereabouts. Emaciated. I gave her the gospel, and she would not receive Christ. I was afraid she would die. I asked her, I said, do you like Boost, that drink? And yes. I said, what's your favorite flavor? I said, chocolate. She's a lady, you know, chocolate. So I went down to a store and bought six of those, and I took them to my room where I stay in first. I was at somebody's house and took those six bottles over there, and there's two little boys in that house, and they drank them, two of them. I went back to get my six bottles, and there's only four left. I don't guess it'll hurt a child to drink those things. I took those four bottles back over there to her. So I didn't want her to just starve to death. As best I know, she's still not saved, though. But my job is to take the gospel to people.
Amen.
Let's do it today. You want to make today count? Would you bow your head?